thank you for joining us today. This is Scott Becker, the publisher of Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Chris Bishop. Chris is the CEO of Regent Surgical Health. Regent Surgical Health is one of the most successful companies in the surgery center business. They do partnerships with hospitals and with physicians to build and manage surgery centers. Chris is the CEO. Chris, could I give you a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Scott, for having me. Chris Bishop with Regent Surgical Health. As Scott referenced, we do have a couple dozen surgery centers across the country focused in joint venture partnerships with physicians and health systems, independent centers, and bundled payments.
So Chris has had great success in this role and in prior roles. We're going to talk with Chris today about really two types of subjects. First, success at surgery centers, and second, success at building companies. And interestingly enough, a lot of the advice will overlap on itself. Chris, let me start with surgery centers. The top three factors to a successful surgery center, what are those?
Yeah, I'd really go with three things, Scott, the three P's that we talk about internally here. And that's first, people, second, performance area experts, and then third, payers. So as you think about people, it really comes down to, have we syndicated the right physician group? Have we invited the right hospital partner to join us? And have we hired the right administrator, director of nursing, or business office manager? Without the right people, the problems become far larger and the center doesn't perform as well. When we get those hires right, the center performs well.
First thing is people. Yep. Go on to the second.
Yeah. Performance area experts. These are incredibly complex businesses. So there's not one individual that has all the answers for the entire operation of the center. So we have as many as 17 people at any given time working on an individual center. So if it's clinically related, we have clinical experts. If it's business office related, we have revenue cycle experts. So from our perspective, it's really a matter of surrounding the center with resources in various areas, because Murphy's Law will show up and there will be issues that we'll have to address. The third area is really payers. I've grown up in the out-of-network world and the fee-for-service world, where we actually utilize the out-of-network strategy from time to time. And as we've seen that as an option available to our centers really decline, it's become vitally important for our centers to have a strong managed care strategy. One of the best players on our team is really the lady that leads our managed care efforts. And as we transition to this value-based care world, where you've got bundles, ACOs, and population health strategies, it's going to become increasingly important that a center has the ability to contract effectively for their center.
Thank you. That's a great answer. The three things you talk about in terms of success are hiring the right people, having the right partners. That's the first P. The second one is performance experts, the right experts to help on the right things. And finally, the third P you talked about was payers. You just can't do this without getting paid well enough for the surgeries that you're performing. Thank you. The follow-up question, Chris, you've talked a lot about the three success factors for surgery centers. What's the worst thing you see in surgery centers? What causes surgery centers to go in the wrong direction?
Yeah, our biggest challenge is when we have a lack of leadership, and that can be a physician group that lacks leadership. It can be an administrator that is not necessarily capable of helping that center reach its potential. One of my favorite authors, John Maxwell, calls it the law of the lid, and essentially suggests that a team can only perform up to the ceiling of its leadership. So if we hire an average administrator, he or she's going to hire an average staff. They're going to deliver average service. So if we don't have a strong leader in that seat or a strong position leader, the center's going to struggle more so than usual.
Thank you. And you've worked with, literally throughout your career, you've been in the surgery center business for almost 20 years now. You have worked with a whole number of centers and companies. You're now the chief executive officer of one of the leading companies in the business. What's one thing every surgery center owner should know about the business?
Yeah, this is really held true across all of the surgery center companies I've had the privilege of working for, and it comes down to planning. Benjamin Franklin said, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So for us, if we don't know where we're going, you can just about rest assured that we're going to end up there. Working in development for much of my career, I was focused more on P&L, budgets, growth strategy, recruitment. But every bit as important as that is our clinical objectives, patient satisfaction scores, physician satisfaction scores. These are the things that our team, as a comprehensive team, and working with the administrator and working with the facility board, we know going into January exactly where we want to go that year. We will have to make adjustments from time to time as market conditions require, but we'll take a retrospective view and see how we performed last year, where we missed, and that helps us inform us for our 2019 plan.
So thank you. You'd say that the number one thing here is you have to have some plan for the year, some plan for what you're trying to accomplish, and without that, you're sort of lost. Business can go along, can maybe not go along, but without a plan and clarity, you're not really going to be achieving as well as you can. Let me flip the discussion to building companies. You've done a great job in developing surgery centers, managing surgery centers, and now running a company, an elite company that manages surgery centers. Let's flip to companies themselves. What's the top success factor in building a company?
Yeah, I alluded to this in one of your earlier questions. It really goes to people. And I'll give you an example for our company. In 2016, we went through a transaction where we essentially bought out our founder. And what we underestimated at the time was the amount of talent that was retiring as part of that transaction. So we launched in early 2017 a nationwide search to look for the highest quality leaders that we could add to our team. There's not a week that goes by, Scott, that I'm not looking or interviewing or meeting with people that could potentially be a part of our team in the future. We're growing, you know, from time to time people leave. So it's important to always be looking. But in addition to that, we also invest heavily in growing our existing team. So for us, it's not only about finding that high potential hire, it's also about coaching them through, identifying their weaknesses and strengths, and ensuring that we're putting them in a position to succeed.
People today building companies, I mean, it's a scary entrepreneurial area. The economy seems uncertain. There's been a lot of growth in the economy, but there's constant changes in the economy. What advice for people in building companies?
Yeah, I think the longer I sit in the seat, Scott, the more I realize I don't know. The sooner a leader can humbly admit that you don't have all the answers as the leader, the sooner you can build trust in your team and surround yourself with experts. I've invested my career in building a network of people that I can reach out to in different areas. I have a board that we continue to add to and bring additional expertise. So for me, sitting in this seat, I woke up one day and all of a sudden I've got 1,000 people that I'm responsible for. For me, I had to make certain that I understood as an organization, how can we ensure the success of our future? And one of the areas that I invested in was some organizational development consulting. This individual has really helped us better understand how to set the organization up for success. And surrounding ourselves with these types of people helped us make better decisions and grow in areas that maybe we previously didn't have responsibility for.
Quickly, you mentioned the transition of leadership from your prior CEO to yourself during the transaction. You mentioned this person is an organizational development person. Do you want to spend just 30 seconds telling us a little bit about those people?
Yeah, again, Scott, this was not something I learned in school. There's nothing worse than putting somebody into a seat on your team and them not being certain exactly what they're responsible for and exactly where they're headed. When you can find the right people, put them in the right seat, and point them in the right direction, you can have a high degree of success. Or you greatly increase the chances of success for that individual. So that's what an org dev consultant has really helped us do, is make sure that we're structuring the company, that we have the right reporting roles and areas of responsibility clearly defined, and it really maximizes the performance of the team.
Thank you. And if you look towards 2019, your top 2 to 3 goals for this year?
Yeah. It really starts with our clinical metrics. We're anticipating actually growing. We've been very intentional the last few years on identifying clinical metrics and tracking those, and we continue to grow the number of metrics this is becoming important in our negotiations, even with managed care. So we want to continue to improve best practice. Clinical metrics really helps us get there. The second thing we invested heavily in last year was improving our patient experience and revamping how we monitor our net promoter score. I bring all my managers together the first week of February for our annual Innovate conference, and we'll invest several days in really finalizing how to continue to improve the patient experience this year. And then finally, you know, any good business is going to certainly have, you know, profit targets. We're in a nice growth phase right now. So for us, we want to continue to not only grow the margins in our existing centers and help them reach their fullest potential, but we have quite a few hospital partners that are looking to expand the number of centers that they have open and operational to serve their community. So, and in conjunction with that, our bundled payment program saw record growth in Q4, and we really believe this is an area of great opportunity for us going forward.
Well, thank you very, very much. You've talked really about three or four areas: clinical improvements, performance improvements, some of the business goals that you have as a company in terms of margins and so forth, and also continuing to double down on your bundled payment initiative. So just fantastic. Chris, I want to thank you for joining us today. You've been great, and it's always a pleasure to listen to you and your thinking on things. Just a great thinker and a great executor. So thank you so much for joining us today. And I know people can reach you through Regent Surgical Health. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Scott.